Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Y'all may be seated. So glad that y'all are here this evening for candlelight worship. And we have a lot of fun during worship, but we also celebrate everything about Jesus. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. I've always said if I could have the theatrics of how I think Jesus would have come into the world, man, there would have been a lot more than that. Amen? But that we celebrate him as a baby in the manger, but also just recognizing who he is in our life. So tonight, everything's about Jesus. And you'll see there's a yellow card in your seat or somewhere on your row for your family to fill out if you would like to let us know you are here, if you're a guest with us. And really, we just want you to feel at home. There's also another card that talks about our upcoming sermon series in January, and then again, our worship on New Year's Eve next week to usher in the new year. And so we're going to take communion tonight, and I'm just going to tell you right now, it's an open table. It's for everybody. You're all welcome, okay? Nobody's excluded. And as we do that, we'll talk about that a little bit as well. So let's just worship. Let's just join in together. Let's just usher in the greatness of the season of Christ. As you hear the scripture reading tonight, we light the Christ candle, knowing that Jesus is coming and that he is in our world. Father, we are, I hope we are, in awe of what you have done for us. And Lord, that doesn't mean just this very day. Lord, that means for all of eternity. From the beginning of creation until you come again, Lord, what you have done for us. Lord, and so that's why we gather together. Lord, we come and we make a bold, bold, bold statement of faith tonight. Lord, that we know, Lord, that we believe and that we proclaim that there's more to Christmas than what the world says there is. Lord, that there is the divine of Christmas. There is the supernatural of Christmas. There is the Messiah come to us. God with us, the Word made flesh. So Lord, tonight as we gather, Lord, there are just an untold number of prayers that need to be answered. Father, there are people praying right at this very moment. Lord, we lift up our voices to you. Lord, we proclaim to you that we trust in you and we believe in you, that we are going to offer ourselves to you. Lord, that we will bow before you. And Lord, that we will make our requests known to you as you call us, Lord, into this life of ministry. Each and every one of us, not just the pastors, not just the worship team, Lord, all of us in our families, Lord, in our businesses, in our schools, in everything that we do. And Lord, and we know that you hear us. And Lord, we give you thanks in advance. And Lord, and we give you thanks right now for what you've already done and what you will do. And Lord, because we believe and we trust in the powerful and the matchless and glorious name of Jesus Christ. And if you believe that, congregation, church, whether you're here tonight or whether you're online, if you know in your heart of hearts that he hears you and that he saves you and that he wants to give you more, you'll just in full agreement just say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So I want you to think about it for just a moment that as you gather, I hope that you notice the theme of the night is all about light, right? And isn't it weird that we don't really miss light until we don't have it? And so in the beginning, you know, there's before there was anything, before the birds of the air, before the fish in the ocean, before the land, before the animals on the land, really before there was an ocean or water, before there was air, before there was land, there was absolutely nothing. There was only nothing. There was only darkness. And then as God started to create and he started to move forward, and it's crazy that darkness really isn't a thing. Darkness only is a thing because it's only defined by the absence of one thing, and that's the absence of light. And isn't it interesting that God initiated his greatest creation starting with light? He said, let there be light. And then he went on to the oceans and to the sky and to the air and to the land and the animals and all the different things. He moved on, and we know now there's 10 million species of animals, right? About 500,000 species of plant, about 10,000 species of birds. But still, that wasn't enough, because God kept going. He kept going and he kept going. But he called all that good, but he said, there's more. And so then he said, let's create man in our own image. And as he did that, 60,000 miles of blood vessels. Isn't that crazy? 60,000 miles of blood vessels, 45 miles of 7 trillion nerve endings that come together so we can see and taste and smell and hear and evaluate and touch all that God said was good. And then, as that happened, as he went forward, he started this idea of this human body gave us sight. He gave us vision. And now, that's where the greatest part about the human body comes in, is that even though we have all these other senses, vision, our eyeballs, your eyes are the second most intricate part of your body, the second after your brain. And it's made up, are you ready? It's made up of over 2 million functioning, moving parts inside of your eye. And your eye, not only does it have that, it's connected. The eye is the only organ in the body that can't be fully transplanted yet after a human brain, because the human eye, it's connected to the brain each by 1 million little nerve fibers. 1 million. How does that happen in that little bitty spot? But it does, and light passes through the cornea, the pupil, and the lens, and it hits the retina, and the retina takes this light, and it moves it to the brain with electrical impulses, with electric signals. It sends it to the brain, and the brain turns those electric signals into what we know as images. And it's all about light. It's all about light. And when you think about that, this, as the light passes and we see these images, now we get to the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Man, we skipped a lot in between, but we get to the genealogy of Jesus Christ, and all those people, they saw all the, with their vision, they gained faith, but they also fell into temptation. They gained sight and knowledge, and they also found sin. They also found God time and time and time and time again. They saw God redeeming them. They went away, and then God brought them back. God never lost them. God never forsake them. God never went away from them, but God kept bringing them back time and time again. And here's what they did, is they kept giving God the benefit of the doubt. Thousands of people, generation after generation after generation. Matter of fact, 42 generations, time and time again, gave God the benefit of the doubt, and God kept redeeming them. God kept showing up in their life. And God wanted to save them from their sins, but they were too weak to do it on their own. So he started. He gave Moses, right? He gave Moses the law. He gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And he said, this is how I'm going to help protect you. But before Moses could even get down from the mountain, okay? I don't know how long that journey was. I mean, he was on foot, and it was on a mountain, and there weren't bike trails and hiking trails and all the different things. But imagine if you could just go to the, I know a lot of you have been to Ruidosa. Imagine if you went to the top of the ski mountain, and by the time you made your way back down, God spoke to you at the top, and by the time you got back down to Ruidosa, right, they were already partying, and they were already sinning, and they were already indulging this little bitty idol that they created for themselves, because they got tired of waiting on a God they couldn't see. And that's what we do, right? Eyes saw and experienced slavery. They saw a burning bush. They saw a stick, a rod turn into a snake. They saw the Red Sea part. They saw dancing on the other side of freedom. Their eyes found manna and quail that God provided for them to eat over and over and over again. They saw water come out of a rock. And all this, but yet still they wandered and they strayed and they committed sin and they did their own thing, because they didn't want to follow God's vision. They wanted to follow their vision. And that's just like me. I don't know about you, but their eyes, they saw a land conquered, right? And their eyes played a huge role in this. Their eyes reported that they found the promised land, right? A land flowing with milk and honey, and how great it was. But then some of them said, oh, but it's also a land filled with giants. It's got problems. They saw the goodness of God and everything that was promised, but they went, this is not going to be easy. And so they conquered, and they lived prosperously for hundreds of years, and their eyes saw the goodness of God, but then they got used to it, and they got complacent, and they got lazy, and then they found slavery again. They found captivity, and they found exile. And then they went through that, and then now they didn't wander, now they wandered. Like, God, where are you? You brought us to this, and now we've been conquered, and we're slaves again. God, where are you? See, I've asked that question myself. God, where are you? And maybe you have too. How could this happen? We're believers. We're followers of Jesus, right? We believe of the baby in the manger. We believe in God. We believe in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray. We worship. We serve. We do all the things. God, where are you? How could two good people find themselves in bad circumstances? That's what they did. They wondered and they were curious and they didn't know what to do. And then they found freedom again. Boy, that just goes, I have a friend that say, boy, that's the Old Testament. Freedom, sin, exile, slavery, hurt. Freedom, sin, exile, slavery, hurt. Freedom, sin, exile, slavery, hurt. How about all of you? Anybody done that besides me? Yes, all of us. But then God, when they were freed, they said, you know what? We're never going to let this happen again. We're not going to sin so much, they believe, that God forsakes us, that God left us, that God turns away from us. God didn't leave them, by the way. Let me just tell you, I've read the end of the story. God did not leave them. Amen? Oh, yeah. See, they left God, but they said, we did something to deserve this, so we're going to create so many rules in the church that never happens again. You got to eat a certain way. You got to wash a certain way. You got to pray a certain way. You got to look a certain way. You can't work on this particular day, and you got to walk on this particular road and do these different things. But then no one could ever get close to God because no one could be good enough. No one could do enough. No one could pray enough. And so they made all these rules. And then people started bickering and getting mad at each other because they were breaking the rules. And they'd say something like, who sinned? Did this man sin or did their parents sin? Is that why he's the way he is? Did he do this to himself or did they do it to him? Is it a curse, right? And then they would say stuff like, just look at yourself. I mean, you must be a sinner. Get away from me. Well, I know you're sick, but I can't do anything for you today because it's Sunday and we don't do anything on Sunday except worship the Lord. You can't carry this. You can't drink that. You can't eat, you know, all these different things, whatever it is. And you can't go into church because you haven't done the right things this week, or you're unclean, unclean. I mean, somebody'd walk in the room and be unclean, right? Anybody scared? Anybody's ever going to say that when you walk in the room? I am. I don't know about you, right? Unclean. And God, I mean, after he's hearing all this, he's like, enough, enough. Well, he didn't really say it that way, but he did say it this way. Now, in the sixth month, an angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, was as follows. Now, you heard this, but listen to it again. When Mary, when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and her husband Joseph, since he was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had thought this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Right? He said, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus. Let me just stop right there. Seems to me, I mean, when you get to that point right there, here's a young woman who experienced a really scary, miraculous setting, right? I mean, something that terrified her, but she knew God. And she knew who God was. And when this angel came to her, I mean, I know she was scared, but in her heart of hearts, she was saying, I know this is crazy, but this is really holy stuff. I know this is mind-blowing, but this has got to be God. Look at this angel talking to me. And she went on. And Mary said, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Well, I'm just going to say, this is me being just a human being and a little sarcastic, and I know how the world thinks. I mean, it's one thing for an unwed pregnant woman to start saying to everybody, hey, no, God did this. And I know some of you are going, did he just really say that? Right, but can you imagine her family? And can you imagine her friends? Can you imagine, I said last Sunday when we were talking about this, can you imagine her going to her youth group and walking in and they're going, whoa, Mary, what's going on? No, an angel told me this was going to happen and God did this. I mean, we make all sorts of excuses for ourselves, but what about Joseph? Matthew 1, 18 through 25. He says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. See, seems right there we could stop and here's the point of the whole sermon. Here's the point of Christmas. What we have in mind is not always what God has planned. Amen? Boy, I can tell you that for my whole life in so many different ways. And I know that you listen and learn. Joseph, he was trying to figure things out on his own. He saw Mary. They hadn't, as it says, they hadn't been together. There's no reason for her to be pregnant. And yet here she is with child. He's trying to figure out all these things. He couldn't figure out with his own eyes. And so God waited until he wasn't looking on his own anymore. And when he went to sleep. And he said this, let me get down here, he said, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived is her from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God's with us. Now listen, when Joseph woke up, these are my words, it's not in Scripture, he gave God the benefit of the doubt. Back to Scripture. He did what the angel of the Lord commanded him to do, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate the marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. See, I see those two, they found themselves backed into a corner. They found themselves in a place where maybe they thought they were stuck. Maybe they thought they were out of control. Maybe they thought they had no way out. They didn't know what they could do or how they could do it. They couldn't count on their family and they couldn't count on anybody else, but they gave God the benefit of the doubt. And as they gave God the benefit of the doubt, I think we do the same thing. We find ourselves in a spot and we go, I can't see any way out of this. Or maybe you've said it about somebody else. There's nothing more that I can do for you. I can't see any other ways to help you. I've done everything I can do. Maybe it's what we do with religion also. God, I promise. None of y'all raise your hands, okay? Because I know none of y'all have ever done this. God, I promise I'll never do it again. And then you do it again. God, I promise I'll never lie to anybody else ever. And then you just told a lie because you said you would never lie again, right? Or you say, I'll never lie to myself again by saying I'll never lie again. And yet you just told another lie. And we do this. We do this. We keep saying over and over again. We find ourselves in hopelessness, in guilt. We find ourselves in darkness. But yet God, he keeps saying, just trust in me, just trust in me. I was looking for a translation that would really does anybody have their, like a real Bible with them tonight? I don't know if anybody actually does. Y'all have your phones, amen? Amen, look at that. All right, well, guess what? I have mine too. So I'm going to look really quickly. I'm going back to Matthew what we just read, Luke. How about Luke? Let's look at Luke, where it says, in the 6th month, right? Hold on. So Luke chapter 1, here we go. Luke 1:26. I'm trying to find, it says in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent. No, it's not there. Well, I'm trying to find where the place where God gave Mary and Joseph, where they said, we're going to give you the benefit of the doubt because you're going to tell us how this is going to play out for our whole lives. I don't find that anywhere. Okay, let me go on. Let me look in one other passage of scripture. Let's see, what's the other one I was going to look for? Oh yeah, let's look where the angel visited Mary. Let me go here. Yeah, the angel said to her, "Do not fear." Well, it doesn't say anything about Mary giving God the benefit of the doubt because she wasn't scared, or she wasn't angry, or she just trusted and didn't care really what happened. Oh, it doesn't say any of that. And God doesn't expect that of us either. He doesn't expect you not to be worried. He says, don't worry because he knows you're going to be worried. He says, pray because he knows you're going to be worried and you're going to need to pray and talk to him. He says all these things not so we have the benefit of the doubt with him anymore, because here's what the deal is. I've searched all of scripture this week. I mean, I really wanted to find it and I looked. I know we didn't do this because I'm too old to have had one of these. Robin is not, but I am. We didn't have a gender reveal party, right? Because we just didn't do that 7,432 years ago, right? Yeah, amen. I'm 54, careful, okay? And so we just didn't do that. And so I looked in scripture, I thought maybe God had a divinity reveal party and just to make them feel better about what was going to happen. No, he didn't do that either. He didn't make anybody feel good or better about what was going to happen. He just said, this is what's going to happen, and it's going to be okay. Right? And as we do that, they had to go through it. They had to walk through it. They had to live through it. They had to get through it. Right? And here's what I know now, is we don't have the benefit of the doubt anymore. What we have, right, benefit of the doubt, it's a favorable judgment. Right? A favorable judgment in the absence of full evidence. Okay? They had to give God the benefit of the doubt. We don't have to do that anymore because we have the benefit of the gift in baby Jesus. Now, I'm going to keep pointing over here because here's the manger. Right? We have the benefit of the gift of baby Jesus. He's here with us. And it's not me telling you. It's God telling you. John 1:1-5, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not grasp it. The two things light do in Scripture is it creates life, and it reveals life. That's what I want for us. I want the light of Christ to reveal light in all of our lives, to illuminate and show us where God is working. Because I know, I mean, I've been there, I'm there in some ways, even today for my life, is we have questions. Why didn't this turn out like I wanted it to? Why didn't this work out? I could have swore by now that we would be doing, you know, this, this, and this in life. I mean, when I was 17, I would really have thought that I've been retired, living in the Cayman Islands on a yacht, right? Anybody with me? Yeah, I mean, I would have thought I would have had servants and gardeners and cooks and living in mansions and just doing whatever I wanted to do. That 30-year plan has not worked out yet. Right? But God didn't say that it's going to work out. Of course Mary and Joseph didn't get proof. That's not the way God works. Because if he would have given them proof, that's physical, that's mental, that's emotional, that's spiritual overload, because we can't know the promises and the revelation of God from now until eternity. He only gives us what we can see. What light shows us. And tonight, you might think that the same is true about you. God, I just need a little light in my life. And you just have to ask. You just have to ask for him to show up. And he will, I promise you. It may not be a big spotlight. It may not be trumpets and sparks and all the things that we hope for when God answers us, right? It may be something really small. It may be something a child tells us. It may be something a friend tells us. It may be a hug. It might be an extension on a loan. It might be something else. It might be a little pay raise. It might be your spouse actually gave you a hug this week instead of slapping you, right? Oh, come on. I've been married. I know what it's like, right? All of us. Your children might actually cuddle up with you on the couch before you give them the gifts. Right? I mean, I don't know what it is. It might be a huge answer to prayer. Today, this very day, I have a friend whose grandbaby needed a heart. An infant. That little boy got a heart today. Huge answer to prayer. But you also know what that means? It means there's a family that's grieving tonight. That's hurting, and they need an answer to prayer. See, this is how we live this life. Isaiah 9:6, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. John 1:14-17 here. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory is only the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Right? Listen, the words of God, the evidences of history, the evidences of the witness of Jesus Christ, the evidences of me as a witness and maybe you for what God has done in your life, he is here. He is the one full of grace and truth. That's why we're here. Because I want more of it. And I want to give him recognition for it. I want to worship him for it. I want to gaze upon him who his gaze pierces through the darkness with his light. That's what Christmas is about. That's why we gather tonight. That's why we're here. That's why we celebrate communion. You can't have Christmas without Easter, and you can't have Easter without Christmas. You can't live this life without the suffering, the death, and the resurrection. You can't just have, as one very pop culture movie tells us, you just can't have baby Jesus all the time, right? You got to have it all. So what we have is the body of Christ. He took it. He knew it. I know that his mom and his dad didn't have a clue what was really going to happen. But they gave God the benefit of the doubt, saying that we know you will take care of us. We have the benefit of the gift, knowing that he will take care of us. And then he had the cup. He had his broken body, and he had the blood that was shed for us. He said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, not that old stuff that Moses talked about." He said, the new covenant, my body and my blood shed for you, the grace and truth revealed in Jesus Christ. Moses brought us the law, and it was good. But Jesus, perfect. That's what we have tonight. And so as you're going to stay seated, communion's going to be passed through tonight. I grew up in a very, very traditional setting. I don't know about you. We haven't done this probably in 10 years, but I hope that it goes well. As it gets passed, right, as you pass it, when the little wafers come by you and you hand it to the next person, you tell them, you proclaim, this is the body of Christ broken for you. As the juice comes through, you proclaim, this is the blood of Christ shed for you. Now you hold it, don't eat it, and don't drink. We'll do that here in just a minute. I want you to stay seated and watch what's going to happen as our kids proclaim the mystery of the manger as we take Holy Communion. Father God, bless these elements that they would be for us the representation of the glory and the goodness and the sacrifice of the eternal life, of the forgiveness, the glory, and the goodness of Jesus Christ. Lord, let us take it. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness where we have sinned. Lord, we don't come acting as if we don't need it. Lord, we come desperate for it. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Lord, as we ask to commune with you tonight, as we receive these elements, let them be for us the body and blood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, parents, if you trust your kids with fire, send them up here to grab the light of the world, and they're going to pass it through to the congregation. Best thing to do, Chase is going to demonstrate here. You hold your lit candle straight up and then take yours and light yours off of theirs so you don't spill wax on you and your friends. After the light gets passed through, we'll sing Silent Night. When we get to the last verse, Ashley will raise her candle as we raise the light to the world, symbolizing that we believe, as I've already said, we believe there's more to Christmas than what the world says. We believe the meaning of Christmas is all about Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you are the Lord, you are the King. You are the one true way to God. Lord, let us take this message to the world as we extinguish our candles tonight. It's not the extinguishing of the light of the world. It's really to place this light in our hearts and us to reflect it out as we leave this place. If you'll do that, you'll say amen. Amen. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.